The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. It is page 128 in the New Testament. Allow me to read the words. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Moses was discovered in reeds by the Nile River and spent 40 years in Pharaoh's palace in Egypt. But when he saw an Egyptian hitting a Hebrew man of his people, he murdered the Egyptian and then fled to Midian and spent 40 years there as a shepherd. One day, Moses took his flock of sheep, as any other day, and went toward Mount Horeb. On his way, he saw a bush that was on fire but did not burn. This was not a usual sight. So he went to take a close look, and then he heard God speaking to him, "Moses, Moses." This was not a simple calling by the name. About 10 years ago, I attended an event at our church hosted by the youth group in their 20s. The event was titled, "What is Your Name?" The members of the youth group who attended were wearing name tags. It wasn't an event to award the person who had memorized the most names. Nor were the members of small groups called to memorize the names of their group members. At the event, people were divided into groups and got to know each other. Each spoke about themselves, what kind of lives they lived, where they were in their lives at that moment. They also spoke about the people and work they cared about and memories they treasured. A person's name contains the person's past, present, and future. So when God called out, "Moses, Moses," this meant he already knew Moses well. He knew how Moses had lived for the past 40 years in Midian, and how he had lived the previous 40 years in the Egyptian palace. God, who knew about Moses' life, was calling him to a purpose. God told Moses, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt, and told him to guide them out of Egypt. Moses lived in the Egyptian palace for 40 years. So he knew what a great country Egypt was, how powerful the military was, and the authority Pharaoh possessed. If Moses did not know what a mighty king Pharaoh was, he might have instantly replied positively to God's calling. But he spent 40 years with Pharaoh, so he knew enough about him. So Moses replied, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" By this he meant, "I think you have the wrong person. You're probably looking for someone else. He is implying that he is not fit for the task. It would be like you are the lowest ranking employee at a local community center, but then you receive a call from the Blue House and are asked to serve as the Minister of Interior and Safety. You would tell the person on the phone, you have the wrong number, or you may be looking for someone else with the same name. It is also comparable to someone working for a small supermarket in a neighborhood, receiving a call from Samsung Group, asking for the person to take the place of Samsung Group's chairman. What would that person say? I have no connections with Samsung. The name of the supermarket I work for is Samsung Supermarket. The reason it is called Samsung is because the owner of the store is Mr. Samsung Kim, and I am only an employee. Moses would have felt there was a Pacific Ocean between himself and the task God was calling him to do. But because God is greater than all things, he established a new relationship with Moses and made the shepherd the leader of the Israelites' exodus from Egypt. Before Jesus took on the cross, at the Last Supper, he said to his disciples, "You will all fall away." Peter said, "Even if all fall away, I will not." But Peter denied Jesus hours later. Jesus called Peter at the Sea of Galilee, "Simon, son of John, do you truly love me?" Simon was Peter's previous name. Peter was not Peter when Jesus called him Simon. But based on this calling, Peter changed the course of his life toward the Lord. Before the Apostle Paul met the Lord, he was certain that the best life was a life following the laws, and that this would be what God wanted. He thought Jesus of Nazareth, who lived against the laws, could not be the Messiah that God had promised. He believed that Jesus should not be the Messiah. So he thought the people who followed Jesus of Nazareth needed to be punished. So he received approval from the high priest and headed to Damascus. Damascus was 240 kilometers north of Jerusalem. It took at least 5 days on foot, and if a person walked 30 kilometers daily, it would take over a week. Paul, going to such lengths, showed how much he despised those who followed Jesus. On his way, Jesus called on Paul. "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Saul was Paul's name in Hebrew form. Paul, astounded, asked, "Who are you?" The Lord answered, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." The calling changed Paul's life entirely. His life, which was geared toward the Jewish traditions, shifted toward the Lord, and the steps he took toward the laws became steps taken to spread the gospel of God's kingdom. So he said in Acts 20, verse 24, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." The Lord is the eternal beginning and end. So the Lord's calling, whenever, wherever, and under what circumstances this may be, the calling provides us a new beginning and hope. So we are enabled by the Lord to live a new life, a meaningful life, and a life of value. There is a poem titled "Flower" by the Korean poet Kim Tun-soo. Let me read you the poem. "Until I spoke his name, he had been no more than a mere gesture. When I spoke his name, he came to me and became a flower. Now, speak my name, one fitting this cap, this color and odor of mine, as I spoke his name, so that I may go to him and become his flower. We all wish to become something. You to me and I to you wish to become an unforgettable gaze." Moses was able to become Moses because God called his name. And Peter was able to live as a true apostle because the Lord called his name. Paul was able to take on his mission with willingness to die for the gospel because the Lord had called him. Today's passage also tells about how Jesus approached a person who was a rich man but did not live a life of value and called him to live a different life from before. Let's look at verse 1 to 2. "Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. Zacchaeus of Jericho was a chief tax collector and a wealthy man. When poets and novelists write, they try to find the right word to describe a situation or the right word for a sentence. They do not use any word that conveys the meaning. So they may spend hours trying to find the right word. And sometimes this takes days. This must have been the same for authors of the books of the Bible. So the reason Zacchaeus was a wealthy man was because he was a tax collector. I spoke 3 weeks ago about what kind of job a tax collector was at the time and what people thought about the job. At the time, there were two types of tax collectors. One who collected tax was called gabbais, and the other collecting customs was called mokhes. The rate of tax was fixed, so gabbais were not subject to that much criticism. But collectors of customs were able to set their own rates, so mokhes were subject to criticism. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. The fact that he went up to the position of chief tax collector shows how much he had collected. At the time, the Roman Empire set up a governor's office and imposed a certain rate of tax. The governor's office would add an additional 30% and impose this on each region. The chief tax collectors of each region would add an additional 50% and then impose this. The tax collectors would then add 30% and collect the final rate from the people. So if Mapugu were under the rule of the Roman Empire and the district was subject to 1,000,000 won in tax, the Mapu governor's office would tell the chief tax collector to collect 1.3 million won. The chief tax collectors would tell tax collectors to collect more than 2 million won. And the tax collectors would have collected more than 2.6 million won from the people. So the Israelites under the rule of the Roman Empire would have taken on an immense tax burden. So the Israelites hated the tax collectors. At the time, it was said that three types of people deserved hate: murderers, robbers, and tax collectors. It was also said if a person asked who they should kill first when they encountered a snake and a tax collector, people answered tax collector. Tax collectors were subject to this much hate, and therefore they were isolated. Even if the life of a tax collector ensured wealth, the person had to be willing to withstand the hate of a lifetime. Zacchaeus lived this kind of life. Like a building has a longer shadow, the taller it is, Zacchaeus, as a tax collector, saw the hatred accumulate as his riches accumulated. Verse 3 enables us to presume why Zacchaeus lived this kind of life. It says he was a short man. When the Bible mentions about a person's physical feature, this is when the feature had a notable impact on the person's life. The Bible says God created the world and that he saw this was good. When he created man, God said he saw it was very good. I believe that God created man to be very good, very pleasing to his eye. I also believe that God created us so that each of us are most pleasing to his eye. And God did not create each of us with the same features. He created us with different features, each with their own beauty. Are the paintings of Vincent van Gogh more beautiful, or those of Jean-François Millet? Are Ludwig van Beethoven's pieces greater, or those of Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart? These are pointless questions. Answers will be different according to the respondent's taste, depth of understanding in art, and maybe the respondent's nationality. The same applies to us. God created us so that we are pleasing to him, but we often regard our appearance negatively or think that others do not regard us positively. So there is no one without any sense of inferiority. People tend to feel a greater sense of inferiority about things that are visible. So it is okay to refer to different ways to improve one's appearance. But if you do not accept the person you are inside and outside, as well as the circumstances you're in, you will not be able to overcome that sense of inferiority and regret taking whatever measures you've taken. But if we accept and overcome the shortages and weaknesses we possess, this can become a channel to serve God and others. Zacchaeus, who had been subject to people's hate, saw a change in his life. Let's look at verse 3. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. The Bible does not tell of who Zacchaeus heard about Jesus from or how he developed interest in Jesus. But he desperately wanted to see Jesus. There were two things that kept Zacchaeus from seeking Jesus. One was his height, and the other the crowd. His height posed as a self-made barrier, while the crowd was an externally formed barrier. We see problems of ourselves and of external nature obstruct us from leading lives of faith. When we are going to gatherings that strengthen our faith, such as Sunday service or Wednesday Bible study or Sunday Bible study, we often encounter barriers. At times, we just do not feel like going. Or we may be affected by conflicts that arise between couples or among family members. When you watch TV, It isn't difficult to concentrate. But when we try to pray in a while, we find our minds wandering everywhere. When we read novels, we get immersed. But when we read the Bible, we suddenly remember all of the things on our to-do list. When we take on tasks to serve God and others, sometimes we find other people looking at us disapprovingly. At those times, we feel like just giving up. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus, but he could have given up because it was difficult to see from his height and the crowd. But he didn't turn back. Let's look at verse 4. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector. Him being a chief means he reached a certain age. It would have been easier for him to tell other people to move over than to climb up a tree. Even if Zacchaeus was a chief tax collector that people despised, he was in a position where he could exert authority over the people in Jericho. It was unusual that he climbed up a tree. And this was to see Jesus from the humble place of Nazareth. This happened because God was working in Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus would have realized later on why he was drawn to Jesus, why he felt compelled to meet Jesus, and why he didn't turn back that day, even after he saw the huge crowd. Why he climbed up the sycamore fig tree, which he wouldn't have climbed considering his social status or age. All of this was God's grace, and this happened because God was working in him. Jesus, who was passing Zacchaeus, looked at him and said in verse 5, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Jesus looked at Zacchaeus and called his name, telling him to come down from the tree. Zacchaeus' life up until then had been a meaningless gesture. Nobody had warmly called out his name. His vault had been filled with gold and silver. The number of cows and sheep he owned grew, and the land he owned expanded. But his possessions served as a wall between relationships with other people. In addition, tax collectors could not enter the temple, so he lived with no relationship with God. But Jesus calling him from the tree became a turning point that changed his life entirely. Imagine the scene where Jesus meets Zacchaeus in your head. A crowd of people are below the tree, including Jesus and his disciples. And Zacchaeus alone is up in the tree. This was because he climbed the tree to see Jesus. But the scene also shows his life in a nutshell. He may have come across countless people, but his life was like living on a deserted island. Jesus calling out, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately," meant that he would put an end to Zacchaeus' life he lived by himself, without the comfort of anyone, without any companion. So Jesus said, "I must stay at your house today." Jesus was stating a strong willingness. And there were countless people in Jericho. But Jesus is speaking as if he came all the way just to meet one person, Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus will have been immensely touched afterward. After Jesus died on the cross, to think that Jesus came all the way to meet him, despite the circumstances of facing death on the cross, despite the burden he had. Jesus had come to meet him, a person who was abandoned, who lived thinking only he could be responsible for his own life, and so dearly held on to material possessions. There is a song that the singer Do Sayeon sang called Wish. The song became better known after it was sung on an audition program. It goes like this. My hand hurts from holding on to so many things. The burden of my life on my back makes my body ache. And I've lived without time for myself because of daily tasks. My legs also hurt from busily walking this far in my life. If somebody had listened to me when I was lonely and in difficulty, I wouldn't find myself alone at a sudden point in time. It does not have to be anything grand if it were just a few words while giving me a hug. I love you if someone tells me those words. I may walk through a desert, but will think it is a path of flowers. We are not aging, but ripening. The only person I should go to that high place together with is you." I was listening to this song, and I thought it sang of Zacchaeus' life. To me, it sounded like this. I got hold of a lot from collecting taxes, but my hands hurt. The weight of my inferiority stemming from my height and other factors make my body ache. I've lived without time for myself as I live daily grabbing onto more. My legs also hurt because of a lifetime of work. If somebody had listened to me when I was lonely and in difficulty, I would not find myself alone at this sudden point in time. The words that felt like a comforting hug for me, who was up in the sycamore fig tree, "Thank you for telling me you love me," by the words, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. Even if my life may seem like I am crossing a desert, I will think it is a path of flowers. I have aged, but from now I will live a life of ripening. The only one who will guide me to that place, that high place, and go with me there is the Lord. The Lord, who is our strength, is calling each of our names at this moment. Let us all respond to the Lord's calling and walk the paths of faith assigned to each of us. When Moses obeyed to God's calling, he became a leader of Israel's descendants. When Peter assigned his life to God's calling, he became an apostle fit to his name. When the apostle Paul took on God's calling, the path he walked became the history of Christianity and of the early church. When Jesus called Zacchaeus, he began to live a new, different life. The Lord has called us and each of us. This is why we are sitting here at this moment. No life will be more meaningful than to obey to the Lord's calling. The Lord says, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. Let us pray. Father God, you called Moses, who spent 40 years in the Midian fields as a shepherd and was set to die after living such a life, to bring the descendants of Israel out of Egypt. You also called Simon, who was always quick to speak and to act, to live a life as an apostle. He also called Saul, who thought it was the best life to adhere to laws, and who was confident that he lived the most just life. You used Saul as a channel that established Christianity and the early church. You called the chief tax collector, Zacchaeus, who thought wealth was all there is to life and that power was essential. You changed his life entirely. And we thank you for also calling us, who are as weak and worthless. Let us become Christians and your children who respond to your calling. Let us not forget you because of the things you have provided us with. And let us not waste our lives. Let us not forget that you alone are able to make our lives meaningful lives in this world. You alone are able to take us to the high place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.